Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa, Florida. It is an exciting time of the month. Right now at Bill Curry Ford, we have 0% on almost every vehicle across the board for 2025. Zero, zero, zero. Zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 90 days. Plus, we are doubling the military incentive through the end of November. Very exciting stuff. If you were involved in any of the government shutdown as a military or first responder, we are actually giving you an additional 3 months of payments deferred. So you'll have a total of 6 months of payments deferred if you were unfortunately involved in any of the government shutdown. And we, as a community, as Bill Curry Ford, as a 65-year-old family business, we are focused on being there for you in your time of need. Right now, our mobile service and pickup and delivery is still at no charge to our guests. So go online at BillCurryFord.com and see all of our amazing specials. See the 0%. See all the vehicles. We have over 600 vehicles to choose from right now for the end of the year sale. And then you can go on anytime and schedule your service and maintenance. So that's good stuff. BillCurryFord.com. See everything there. So let's get into some football, right? This is going to be a fast 30 minutes. We're going to get into some rookies. We're going to get into some stuff. We're going to get into some Bucs talk. And let's start with the Pats and the Bucs game. The Buccaneers rallied but lost 28-23 over the Pats. It was a difficult game from an offensive line standpoint. Watching the game back, I feel the offense was a little disjointed because the protections broke down, it seems like, at the worst possible times. And Baker, who was 28-43 for 273 yards and 3 TDs, is still playing injured. The reason why I say that is because on 3rd and 3 with the game on the line and a bunch of green grass in front of him, he chose to force the ball in instead of just running, which is what he's done when he was in the MVP conversation. So you can see that he's still dealing with that oblique, and it's obviously making him stay in the pocket, which, again, with this, the way the offensive line is playing right now, you really don't want to be in the pocket. And listen, I'm not going to call out a bunch of names, but I think it has to do with just the continuity of the offensive line. Brennison went out at the beginning of the game. That was tough on everyone. Again, you just can't get any continuity. You can't get any flow. Gadicke was back. I thought he brought some physicality back to the offensive line. Sean Tucker, I thought, ran the ball very well. I think that Grizzard needs to go back and look at last year's tape on how Liam Cohen used Rashad White. And I think that's super important because the screen game is just broken right now. And I know we're missing Bucky Irving, but if you think about it, Bucky Irving was not the key to our screen game. White was. And I'm telling you that if you go back and look at how we used him and how effective he was 2nd in the NFL last year on those receiving plays as a running back. And I feel like that's just something that's been lost in our offense. And then, of course, Amika had a stunning game. I still think he should be Offensive Rookie of the Year, but with Jackson Dart playing the way he is right now, I think he's probably going to run away. As you know, quarterbacks usually run away with it. And then Tez Johnson, our 7th-round pick out of Oregon, has just really stepped up and shown that he can play in the NFL. So I'm very excited about that. But getting back to the game, the lack of pass rush, rushing for, trying to get to the quarterback. And Drake May is a quarterback that had the 2nd most sacks in the NFL. And not to be able to get to him, I think we had one sack. There wasn't constant pressure on Drake May. And when the game was on the line, Drake made an amazing throw to Kellen Williams, another rookie who was Chris Sims' favorite wide receiver coming out, where he showed off his speed and his hands. That was really interesting. And then another rookie, Trayvon Henderson, a gentleman that I've talked about at length, and I had him ranked above Judkins, who's now playing for Cleveland, in my breakdown of running backs. I thought he was special because of his breakaway speed. And of course, he finally got a start in the NFL, and it was against the Bucs. And then he set an all-time NFL record for the longest runs and then also a New England Patriots record for he had 14 carries only in the game for 147 yards, almost 11 yards a carry for 2 touchdowns with a 70-yard run. It was really interesting to see our off-the-ball linebacker play. I think Dennis took a really big step back in this game. He cost us one of the long runs, and Cullum cost us the other run with because that was his responsibility on that side and didn't get there. And then these breakdowns are just interesting to me because you play so well, and then you just give up the game on four plays, basically. It's just really an interesting coaching game. I feel like the Pats are probably one of the best coached teams with Vrabel in the NFL. They, not a big penalty game, very well disciplined, good schemes. I think the Patriots are a very, very good football team. And right now it looks like to me that they're going to represent the AFC the way they're playing as long as they stay healthy. They have some weapons. They're not even full complement weapons, kind of like us without – nobody has the injuries. One of the things that it was NFL brought up, and I think Lee even brought up that other teams are scoring points without top-tier talent. But it's really hard when – you know, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and McMillan, your top three wide receivers before Amika and Tez Johnson were added to the team this year, are all out. And then your Pro Bowl running back, one of the top five running backs in NFL, and Bucky Irving, you know, hasn't played since week four. And then your offensive line has just been in shambles. For our team to be 6-3 going into this Buffalo Bills game, I'm really proud of the guys. And we can criticize and say how they could have won this game. Listen, New England right now in Week 10 is a better football team than we are. That's it. The better football team won. There's really nothing else to say about it. They were better coached. They were better prepared. Their players played better. They executed better. And they were healthy at a lot of positions. And they have a pass rush. So I think it's frustrating. And when you look at last year's draft pick, second round draft pick, Chris Braswell, and then you think about his contribution has been minimal, if anything, as a pass rusher. And then Nelson, you know, bounced back to really his backup role because he really got a lot of snaps and he really wasn't effective like he was against New Orleans. And then, of course, we're Hassan Reddick, again, is still injured. We don't even know what we're getting with him when he's healthy. I'm just curious when who is going to, in our playoff run, going to impact the game as a closer? We made no moves at the trade deadline. Phillips, as you know, who was traded from Miami with it for a bag of peanuts, you know, has been dominant since he was traded as a pass rusher. So when you guys heard the podcast that I did with Ira and Steve and Lee, and I talked about that, I said that Jason Light's not going to make any moves. I meant it. Like, I feel like he values his draft picks and the way he manages his salary cap, where he feels like he's going to try to get healthy and some of these guys are going to step up. But yeah, I guess it is, I see both sides because it is frustrating when you see players that are added that immediately impact the team. And we'll see how Jacoby Myers, a number one wide receiver who went to Jacksonville for fourth and a fifth, we'll see how he contributes to Jacksonville's playoff run, because right now Jacksonville is in the playoff hunt, even with Travis Hunter out for the season. So it's very interesting stuff. Again, Amika had six receptions, 115 yards, and a TD. If he stays healthy, he will break every record for the Buccaneers. He'll break Michael Clayton's record. Tez Johnson's up to five touchdown catches on the season. I think that's super, super impressive for a seventh-round draft pick. Elijah Roberts, again, had a sack in this game, and I think as a fifth-round pick, he's really showing himself and the depth that Jason Light does in the draft and the fact that he's finding these guys. This might be one of the most productive drafts. And imagine if Walker was actually not hurt and on the field. I'd be very interested to see what his impact was going to be. But this class, this is a very, very impactful draft class. Congratulations to Jason Light on that. And again, I talked about Kyle Williams, which was one of Chris Sims' absolutely favorite out of Arizona, and one of his favorite players. And he scored his first touchdown, a 72-yard pass that was just a laser. And Benjamin Morrison, by the way, for all of you who are criticizing him on that play, Darrelle Revis wouldn't have made a play on that ball. The ball was thrown. Sometimes the ball beats the man, and that's in this particular case, the throw was better than the coverage could ever be, and that's just the way it is. Moving on, the Buccaneers are going into Buffalo. Buffalo's coming off a terrible, humiliating loss to the Miami Dolphins, so it's really not terrific. I'm hoping that the Bucs stay competitive in the game. Without a healthy star quarterback and without three of our top receiving targets, and Buffalo's going to be very angry, similar to what the Detroit Lions did to us on Monday Night Football after their loss, which was really stolen from them from the referees. I'm not really optimistic about this game this week. And it really doesn't mean anything because it's an AFC game. So really not concerned. The Rams game is super important the following week. The Rams game needs to be the focus. The Bills, if we win the Bills game, I feel wonderful about it. If we lose it, it doesn't really matter to me. Carolina lost again. Atlanta lost again. New Orleans is a non-factor. So, you know, I want to just keep moving on. First things first, win the division first, worry about everything else later. Moving on to the Raiders and Broncos. What a very defensive football game for a Broncos defense, which is a top five defense in the NFL, and a Raiders defense, which is in the bottom half of the NFL. Both played lights out. And it goes to show you these rivalry games, you just have to throw the records out. Like the Miami Bills game where Miami dominated the Bills, and you have this Bronco Raiders game where the Broncos should have dominated the Raiders and the Raiders stayed all the way in and lost 10-7. So when you think about it, if you're going to bet on football, which I don't recommend, you have to take into consideration these rivalry games because you just throw everything out. Bo Nix, last year's first round draft pick, has had a terrific season. He's guided the Broncos to an 8-2 record, which I think is pretty great. Eshon Gentry, the only first round running back, he had another touchdown run, a 4-yard run, and he had 60 yards on 19 carries. I think he's having a very solid season after a slow start, so congratulations to Gente and the Raiders. Brock Bowers is a massive star for the Raiders, but their quarterback play right now with Geno Smith is really, really bad. The worst I've seen Geno Smith play, actually, even worse than when he was playing with the Jets. You know, Pete Carroll's got a big mountain to climb there with the Raiders, but they have some draft picks and they have some star players, so we'll see how that goes. Speaking of the Falcons in the NFC South, the Falcons are now 3-6 after losing to the Colts, who are now 8-2. So between the Pats and the Colts, those are the pride of the AFC. So it's really interesting. And the Colts' top pick, Tyler Warren, who, by the way, fell when the Chicago Bears passed on him, which I still feel mixed emotions that they picked Loveland over Tyler Warren. Tyler Warren was my number one guy. He had 8 receptions for 99 yards in the game. He made a critical 10-yard catch on fourth down that helped the Colts secure the win. He's just such a difference maker. If you haven't seen Tyler Warren highlights, it's worth going to see. Daniel Jones on his comeback tour was 13 of 26 for 255 and a TD, which was really interesting. Here's a guy that no one talks about in the MVP race, and Jonathan Taylor at running back is having one of the best running back years of all time in the history of the NFL. He had 32 carries for 244 and 3 touchdowns. Again, he's had 3 touchdowns in 3 games this year, which I believe tied Marshall Faulk for the NFL record. That guy's just having a monster year. Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr., these are two pass rushers that were drafted by the Falcons, and they traded back up and gave up another first round to get James Pierce at the bottom when he started to fall. Jalen Walker recorded another sack, had 4 solo tackles, and had a forced fumble. The forced fumble was by James Pierce. James Pierce had another sack in this game. I'm telling you guys, the Jalen Walker, James Pierce Jr. combination for the Atlanta Falcons is going to be unbelievably fierce for years to come. I'm not saying the Falcons are a good team. I feel like their offensive coordinator is a knucklehead. I don't think he knows what he's doing. I think he's called a very poor offense. Thank goodness for us. The defense is not losing games for the Falcons. And the fact that they added these guys is just unbelievable. And a lot of people had James Pierce Jr. off of their board. And if you listen to Best in Class Pass Rushing Edition, I did an Edge Edition. I said James Pierce is an unbelievable football player. I know he might not be a terrific guy in meetings or off the field. I have no idea. But that's pretty much why he fell. On the field, he is a wrecker. He's a wrecking ball. Jalen Walker's speed shows up every time you watch him on the field. But those two guys are unbelievable talent to come in as rookies. The Giants and the Bears. The Bears 24-20 pulled this game out. This got to see Jackson Dart, this year's darling quarterback for Offensive Player of the Year. And then you have my boy Caleb Williams, last year's number one pick, who's playing at an incredible level for them right now. So Jackson Dart went out in this game with a concussion, but this is what he did before that. 242 yards passing. And then rushing, he added another 66 yards and 2 more touchdowns on the ground. And he was hurt during a rush, which is really interesting. Jackson Dart is a star for the Giants. And we talked about Scadaboo, who was one of my absolute favorite players in the draft. And I talked about him. He's out with a season-ending injury. But at least the Giants have some superstars, future superstars on their team, as long as Scadaboo comes back healthy from that terrible ankle injury, which is similar to what Godwin is experiencing. I'm hoping that that they come out of that. But getting back to Caleb Williams last year, his number one pick that took a lot of criticism for bad NFL coaching and then bad offensive coordinator. He's on his third offensive coordinator in 2 years in Ben Johnson, and you can see him really coming into his own. 220 for a touchdown. He rushed for another 63 yards and the game-winning touchdown. Last week he had four touchdowns, including one receiving. The guy is willing his way through this, learning this offense and making the Bears, who are 6-3, a surprise team in the NFC. So congratulations to Caleb for showing off. And you know, this thing about him running this year, he's running the ball. And people don't understand that he might be one of the very best at avoiding the rush and getting out of it. And then he has speed that people don't understand. He's not Jaden Daniels, but he's deceptively fast. He's like that model fit thing where you're looking at the model and you're like, wow, she's a beautiful woman, but she's deceptively unfit. You think she's fit, but then she's not fit, right? It's called hot girl fit. Caleb Williams is like that with running the ball. You're like, okay, this guy can spin, yeah, but he's not really set up. And then all of a sudden he breaks free and he's much faster. And by the way, Caleb Williams has running back legs, right? He works his legs like a running back does, so he can break tackles. Watch Caleb Williams. When the defender gets his hands around him, he's able to break free and break three and force the ball down the field and complete it. I'm just really happy that not just for me for saying that he's a very, very talented quarterback. I think he's the most physically gifted quarterback I've ever seen and ever scouted. And to actually see him putting it all together and putting the Bears on his back and winning three games in a row. I think they've won five now games in a row. It's been pretty impressive and good for him. Again, I talked about Jackson Dart already. Colson Loveland, who was the tight end that was drafted before Tyler Warren, had another solid, two back-to-back solid performances for the Bears. He had four catches for 43 yards. Last week, he almost had 100 yards and a touchdown. He had the 58-yard game-winning touchdown against the Bengals. So it looks like Ben Johnson's, who what really is a tight end offense, is finally starting to work his like Sam Laporta magic into the Bears tight end with Caleb Williams and Colston Loveland. So that's really interesting to see. And if you guys aren't watching Kamanagi, he runs hard. I just don't know how he's not going to take over the starting running back position for the Bears, but he's been unbelievable. And in this game, just game in particular, he just broke tackle after broke tackle. He just would not go down. He really reminded me of Mark Ingram. When Mark Ingram was early in his career, was almost impossible to bring down. And he would always get that extra half yard or that extra yard as you were trying to tackle him. Kyle is very, very similar to that. And Luther Burden, who fell in the draft, who is definitely a tier one wide receiver for the Bears, still trying to find his way in that offense. He had a catch for 19 yards in the game. And then, of course, Kyle was a seventh-round pick, which I think is very interesting. You have him contributing for the Bears, and then Tez Johnson, another seventh-round pick, contributing for the Bucks, who now has five touchdowns. Just super interesting, the depth of last year's draft. Bills Dolphins, we talked about this. The Bills got blown out 30-13 against the Dolphins. Very odd game, but again, a rivalry game, and that's just the way it is. Maxwell Harrison out of Kentucky, the Bills rookie cornerback, got his first NFL start. You know, it was a mixed bag. So, I mean, that's pretty much it. He gave up some yards to Jaylen Waddle, which a lot of people do. So we'll keep an eye on that. Maxwell Harrison ran a 4.240 at the Combine, one of the fastest players to come into the NFL. So hopefully his speed will translate. Landon Jackson, the safety, not a safety, edge rusher, who was linked to the Bucks several times during the draft, left the game with a knee injury on the first series. So I hope that he's okay. Ravens-Vikings. Ravens won this game 27-19. J.J. McCarthy's last year's first-round draft pick at the Minnesota Vikings, 20-42, 248 in a TD. I feel like the last maybe two and a half quarters, maybe four quarters of the last few weeks, he's really coming into his own a little bit. He just makes bonehead plays during the game where I think that's just going to come with more snaps and more reps. I really do. I think he's got the arm strength. I think he's got the intelligence. I think he's got some weapons with the Vikings to really do something. Malachi Starks out of Georgia, which was the safety that the Ravens drafted, again, is just having an elite year for a rookie safety. I really, really liked him coming out. and I'm really glad that he's playing well for the Ravens. Keandre Jackson is an undrafted free agent who's just starring for special teams for the Ravens. Really interesting guy. Teddy Buchanan was a late-round pick of the Ravens. He was only targeted twice in the game and only gave up one reception. Mike Green, which was the Senior Bowl champion or MVP coming out of Marshall, he had three quarterback hits and a tackle for a loss in the game. He's a guy that's been hit or miss. As you know, rookie pass rushers are hit or miss, but he's showing definitely that Baltimore attitude and that physicality. He fits right in with those guys. The next game is the Browns and the Jets. The Jets are on a three-game winning streak, beating the Browns 27-20 because the Jets had a bye week, so I'm counting that as a win for them. Dylan Gabriel, which is the third-round draft pick out of Oregon for the Browns, was 17-32 for 167 yards. The jury's out for me on Dylan Gabriel. He makes some cool throws, but he's just so inconsistent. He misses wide-open receivers, and then he threads the ball into really tight coverage. You're like, wow, if he could just make the regular easy throws, it would be just so much better. But right now, he's just not a consistent player. And he has a good running game with them and a good offensive line for the Browns. I don't think he has a lot to throw to. You know, Jerry Jeudy out of Alabama is not, you know, is his number one primary target. But I'm really interested to see this Sanders get a chance at the quarterback position. And I just don't think that's going to happen as long as they have their head coach. And I think he's going to be fired. So we'll see. The Browns are now 2-7 and 0-5 on the road. Carson Switzinger for the Browns has been absolutely a dominant linebacker from game one. He's an unbelievable player out of UCLA. And I think defensively it's going to be hard not to have him in that conversation to win Defensive Rookie of the Year because he's been that good. Mason Graham out of Michigan, the first-round draft pick of the Browns, had his best game as a pro. So congratulations to Mason Graham. Austin McNamara, the Jets rookie punter, not talking about rookie punters, but I wanted to throw him out there just because he is a rookie that has a starting job. And, you know, he's got a lot of practice punting for the Jets. Aziri Thomas out of Florida State was a guy that Todd Bowles actually talked about before the draft. He had three tackles and a pass defense. I think Todd Bowles really liked him on film. We ended up getting, obviously, Morrison and Parrish, and Parrish has been an absolute stud for us. I think Parrish is going to be a terrific player. Thomas just has more size, and I think that that's what Todd Bowles likes, is the size of his corners, like a Jamal Dean has size. So I think Aziri Thomas is playing very well for the Jets after trading Sauce Gardner away to the Colts for, by the way, two number one picks and a player that was a number one pick. So, I mean, I feel like the Jets really got a good deal on that. Saints-Panthers, thank you, Slimy Saints, for beating the Panthers and putting them back to 500. Saints won 17-7. This was Shiler Shuck's first start, 19-27, 282, and two touchdowns. They actually drafted him to be their franchise quarterback. And in this game, I mean, it's a small section of a game, sure, against the Carolina Panthers. But, man, he looked good. His long ball, which he's not known for, was extremely accurate in this game. He had two touchdowns and 282 yards. He was the first Saints rookie quarterback ever to win a ball game since 1981 on his first start. So it's pretty cool. I don't like either one of those teams. So moving on. Jags and Texans. Texans won this game without C.J. Stroud, 36-29. Davis Mills, a name we haven't really talked about a lot when he used to be the starter because C.J. Stroud really just took all of his pub away, was 27-45 for just under 300 yards and two TDs, which was really good. Woody Marks out of USC, the running back for the Houston Texans, rookie, had 14 carries, 63 yards, 4.5 yards a carry, and a touchdown, which is really interesting. Jaden Higgins, another draft pick, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, had 5 receptions for 42 yards and a TD. And Jalen Noll, 4 catches for 35 yards in this game, and also does their special teams return. So Houston added a lot between Marks, Higgins, and Noll. I think they added a ton of offensive talent. And C.J. Stroud, who had a terrible concussion, I hope that he comes back healthy and ready to go. The Texans moved back to 4-5. They have a chance to get their season turned around, and we'll see how that goes. Their defense, if you're not watching the Houston Texans defense, its pass rushing is unbelievable. They're like very similar to the Denver Broncos with pass rush. They are just constantly putting pressure on the other team. Moving on to the Sea Chickens and the Cardinals. The Sea Chickens are 7-2, won 44-22. This was not much of a football game. Nick Emanuori, The safety that I absolutely loved that the Sea Chickens drafted has been unbelievable for them. He had a terrific game. He had four pass defense in the same game. Four pass defense. He had nine tackles, a sack, and a fumble recovery in the game. The guy's playing lights out. I love his physicality. I thought he was the most physical safety. I thought he gave you the best range and the best ability to play the run. And I feel like he's really putting that together for the Sea Chickens. Congratulations to him. The Rams, which is the Bucks' opponent 2 weeks from now, which is super important, are now 7-2. They beat the 49ers 42-26. Not much of a game. Mac Jones, the former number one pick of the New England Patriots, who got discarded to Jacksonville and is now back with the 49ers, who should have drafted him the first time instead of Trey Lance, had 33. He was 33 of 39 for 315 and three touchdowns. They didn't lose this game because of Mac Jones. That guy's been playing absolutely lights out. I feel bad that he lost this game, but they are now 6-2 with him as their starter. I think it's pretty impressive. The Rams, without rookies that I want to talk about, unless you want to talk about Blake Corum, which was last year's draft pick out of Michigan, has now really found his role behind Williams at the running back position. They're really complementing each other very well. But again, the Rams just look really unbeatable right now. I mean, between Stafford and these guys, they look really good. Speaking of teams that are just really, really good, the Lions beat the Commanders 44-22. The Lions are just a juggernaut right now. And who would have thought 4 years ago they won two games, and now 4 years later they're just an NFL machine. Between Jared Goff, which was an amazing trade, that guy's been unbelievable, and drafting Jahmyr Gibbs, who I wanted the Bucs to draft at Alabama, has been spectacular for them. Of course, Williams, last year's draft pick out of Alabama, had six receptions, 119, and a TD for the Lions. It looks like he's finally getting more comfortable next to Amon St. Brown, who was at USC, who was a very underrated receiver at USC, and who has just carved out an amazing NFL career for himself. Jalen Lane out of Virginia Tech, who was a fourth-round draft pick of the Commanders, has had a solid season. He had 15 receptions so far this year for 212. He's really coming on as of late, because I'm just trying to find some rookies to talk about on these teams. And then I wanted to shout out Jeremy McNichols, which was a draft pick of Jason Light, who has really carved out a really nice role for the Commanders. You know, he's averaged 5 yards a carry for the season and had several hundred-yard games and some goal line touchdown runs. And last year he played a key role in their playoff run. So just wanted to point that out, that he's still in the NFL and he's still playing. Speaking of that, as you might have saw, the Chicago Bears traded for Joe Tryon to give him another fresh start coming away from the Cleveland Browns. But it was really just a draft pick swap. It really wasn't a draft pick at all. The next game, the Chargers, who are now 7-3 with a struggling offensive line, beat the Steelers 25-10. Justin Herbert, my boy, again, 20-33, 220 in the TD. He's just been sensational since drafted. And again, Tua was drafted over him. It's a long story for those of you who haven't been following the pod, and you're just a new listener to the pod. I have this whole long history of why on earth would you draft Tua over Herbert. Please go back and listen to the episode. I'm sure it's easy to find. R.J. Mickens, which is a six-round draft pick of the Chargers, had a huge interception that set up the touchdown right before halftime, which I thought was really cool. This guy, Vidal, the rookie running back, had 95 yards rushing and a touchdown for the Chargers. I think he's been really, really good as a rookie running back. So there's every year there's that rookie running back that no one knows, and then he gets drafted and put in the right situation with the right team. You know, and I can tell you, like, every year I can give you one, and this year it looks like it's going to be him. So congratulations to him. And Nikhil Reed is another defensive back that the Chargers drafted, had a nice pass breakup in the fourth quarter to stop any type of rally. So the Chargers are getting some use out of some depth and some free agents, rookies that they signed. Their number one pick might be up for the season in Joe Alt. The next game that is the Monday Night Football game, which is the Eagles and the Packers. Very, very low scoring game. The Eagles won this game by 3 points, 10-7. Really, there's nothing to speak about here. Matthew Golden, this amazing wide receiver out of Texas, has been injured for the Packers. Jahad Campbell, which was linked to the Bucks, which I correctly said was going to be picked by the Eagles at 32, has, again, is between him and Schlesinger, have had really amazing defensive years for rookie linebackers. Had 5 more tackles in this game, so he's been sensational for them. All right, so that concludes week 10 of our breakdown of the NFL and NFL first and second year players. Please go and leave me reviews at Apple Play, Podbeam, and I absolutely love any feedback you can send me to bestinclass@billcurryford.com. Please, I'll answer all your questions, go through anything that you guys need. I'm a very quick responder. Come and see me in the dealership. I'll work with you directly. We'll talk football, and I'll sell you a car, or we'll service a car, or sell you a part, or put you in the body shop. Whatever you guys need, as you know, we're here to serve the community. And as far as social media, I'm not going to go through all. You guys know what to do. Follow us on social media, Bill Curry Ford Tampa, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'll see you guys next week. We'll talk about the Buffalo Bills game, and we'll see how that goes. Buccaneer fans, I want to win, but keep in mind, the Rams game is much more important. I'll see you guys.